about this, people check it out at democracynow.org. Sarah Lee Whitson, Executive Director of Democracy for the Arab World Now, or DAWN. I'm Amy Goodman. Stay safe.
When I first came to Brookhaven town,
way, hey, 90.1,
there was no good music to be heard around.
Way, hey, 90.1.
Then one day I turned on the dial.
Way, hey, 90.1.
There I found music to make me smile.
Way, hey, 90.1.
I waited for a legal ID.
Way, hey, 90.1.
The DJ said WUSB.
Way, hey, 90.1.
They start each day with the rising sun.
Way, hey, 90.1.
Don't ever finish till after day is done.
Way, hey, 90.1.
So if you want good music to hear.
Way, hey, 90.1.
There's a station in Stony Brook you ought to hear.
Way, hey, 90.1.
So if you like the sounds, do take a look.
Way, hey, 90.1.
At WUSB Stony Brook.
Hey, hey, hey. And this is WUSB broadcasting at 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM on your radio dial. Also over the internet at WUSB.FM. It's now 6 o'clock. It's a Tuesday evening. It's time once again for another episode of Off the Wall. Very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hey, what's up?
Not that much, you know. I can't believe it's not a Tuesday. I mean, what happened to the week? I feel like a day has been pulled out from under me, and it's actually Monday or Sunday or something like that. You tell me it's Tuesday.
Well,
there was
this time change thing that happened, but it's not going to happen after a certain time if it goes through.
Wait, what?
The Senate passed a bill to keep daylight savings time.
Senate passed a bill.
We lost an hour on Sunday. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. They did something.
We did lose an hour. That's true. I don't know where it went, but yeah, we lost an hour, and it's now daylight savings time.
Yeah.
Which is very confusing because now we're only 4 hours away from London time. Whereas before it was 5 hours, now it's 4 hours. And at some point, they're going to go into daylight savings mode too, and then it'll become 5 hours again. It gets very confusing this time of year.
But there's legislation from a lot of people that apparently don't want this anymore. They want it to stay one way and just be that way.
Yeah, but which way? Which way gets to be the way? Is it daylight savings or is it standard? I mean, I think it should be standard. It's standard, for God's sake. You know? So what are we, not standard anymore? And what happens if Canada doesn't agree? You know, the Senate can say what it wants, but if Canada doesn't agree, you know, then we're going to have two different time zones. Well, a lot more time zones.
I can fix this right here, right now. The important thing is just to stay on time.
Stay on time. Well, that's what we do here at WUSB. We stay on time. You notice this show began at 6 o'clock on the dot, and this show will end at 7 o'clock. Also on a different dot, and Finn will be in at 7 o'clock, and he'll take you to 9 o'clock.
He'll be bringing the freshest revolution you've ever heard.
That's right. If you're looking for revolution, look no further. No, actually, you should always be looking further. You know, this week has okay. We hear a dog barking. I don't know if you can hear that over the air, but there's a dog barking. That's a dog in the streets of Kyiv in Ukraine, where we have a microphone set up. We don't have a microphone set up, but the internet does.
Well, and you have to listen to these things. They're out there. There's all kinds of innovative ways people are putting these things together. It's sort of a mix between closed circuit systems and slow TV, all these things that people started streaming and do just for fun or out of a curiosity in their area. You can broadcast that and reorganize it. So we're able to just listen in and have a little bit of background as though we're there, as though we're just on the street there. Hey, you know what? Maybe we are there. Definitely in spirit.
If we were there... Oh, I'm sorry. I left my phone on. And of course, this is when people decide to message me because they're inconsiderate and they know I'm on the air and they want to make noise. So I'm just going to turn them off. There.
I just assumed that was an interval.
That's what happens. No, it's not. But if anyone can guess where that's from, I would welcome your guess. OTW@2600.com. In fact, that's where you can direct all your questions, your outrage, your suggestions, whatever else. But no, if we were actually in Kyiv, you would hear the trepidation in our voices. Although I should point out, I read this from a journalist who actually is in Kyiv earlier, saying that it's Western media that is advancing this notion that the city is under siege and everybody is freaking out. I mean, yes, the city is in danger of attack, but people are going about their lives. And it's not a scene of panic. It's actually incredibly stoic. And people are living and fighting back and, dare I say, winning.
Yeah, absolutely. And that spirit of outspokenness is evident, including with the animals and the dog in this case.
Yeah, if a dog can bark in the street, I guess things are all right. But, you know, that could change at any moment. You might hear air raid sirens you might even hear artillery. We've heard gunshots. It's just hard to even wrap your head around. And of course, you know, you have to remember this is reality all around the world in all different places. We're quite lucky here in the States because we don't really know what that's like. And, you know, they have air raid sirens in these places. They didn't just install them. They're there all the time. And I believe pretty much every city, every location in Europe must have this. You know, we have sirens. the siren goes off. It means it's noontime, or maybe there's a fire, or maybe there's an ambulance, you know, volunteer ambulance being called for. That's what that means. Or a tornado in the Midwest. And, you know, we have nuclear evacuation sirens too, but we don't have them around here, but around nuclear plants, they do. So I guess people know what those mean. But it's not the same thing. We don't have air raid sirens. I don't think we do. If you live in a community in the States that has an air raid siren, a real air raid siren, let us know. I'd like to know something about that. Did you see what happened today in Parliament? Parliament being in Canada, neighbors to the north.
I didn't catch it. I did see some pieces of it. I heard that the president, Mr. Zelensky, was able to speak in the Canadian Parliament this
That's
time.
Right.
He addressed the British Parliament, I think, a week or two ago.
He's making the rounds. He's pretty much hitting everyone. And it's incredible how he's able to do this and, you know, maintain the resistance and stay safe all at the same time.
It's the same way we're able to, even though we're not hearing air raid sirens, we're aware that other parts of the world and many other people who have the luxury of listening in and following, whether it's unconventional media and new channels or traditional media that is doing really good foreign or other kinds of reporting, you're able to empathize and sit in and be a part of that. And these bodies that he's able to use the technology, use these channels to be as though he's there and be heard in an official and formal way as that is reflective of his stature.
And the reaction that he gets, I think that's also heard, and hopefully he hears it as well. What I'd like to do, you can hear the entire speech online. It's easy to find. It runs about 10 minutes long. It's quite emotional. Basically, this is the end. This is the very last few seconds of this particular speech of his. I want you to hear the reaction from Canadian Parliament. We're going to play that unedited and in its entirety. Last few seconds of his speech, the reaction. Here we go.
Modern day in history of Ukraine. We want to live. We want to have peace. I'm grateful to everyone of you in the Parliament of Canada who is present there, to every Canadian citizens. I am very grateful to you, Justin. I am grateful to Canadian people, and I am confident that together we will overcome and will be victorious. Glory to Ukraine. Thank you to Canada.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now invite the Honorable George Fiore, Speaker of the Senate, to say a few words.
I don't envy him. It's quite an act to follow. You know, I've seen Springsteen numerous times. Never, never has there been an ovation like that. The reception for President Zelensky appearing virtually before Parliament today in Canada. And the man just carries such emotion, such respect, the courage that he shows every single day, standing up to this superpower that is trying to destroy his country. And, you know, it feels a lot like the rest of us are powerless to help, to do something about this, to stop it. We're not. We are doing a lot. It's just not having the immediate desired effect. And that's frustrating. I get that. We can't let it detract us from continuing to try and continuing to attempt to get more people, more countries on board to put the pressure on. You know,
the two things that I've thought of just in response to how difficult and frustrating it might feel is that compassion and forgiveness are in real short supply, or they will be, and they're at a moment when we need it the most. And I think that it is important to continue to treat people justly and listen and right things, try to fix things, that everything that you can, because in crisis a lot can get overlooked, and there are so many other things that that aren't being addressed, or that we can't focus on, or, you know, certainly this cannot be something that we turn away from.
Mm-hmm.
It is an immediate concern to a lot of people, especially those that want safe and safety and stability in their lives. So you absolutely you really have to succumb to that frustration.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's frustrating. It's extremely frustrating and painful. And we have to continue feeling the pain, because people in Ukraine are certainly experiencing that right now. We can't just turn the channel. We can't just say, oh, well, that's normal for them now. It's not normal. This is not normal. Over 2 million people have fled their country, more than anywhere in Europe since World War II. This far exceeds what happened in Yugoslavia, and so quickly, too. You know, it took a couple of years, even for the Syrian refugees, to reach this number of displaced people heading for Europe, as happened in just over 2 weeks in Ukraine. It's really something. I want to play another excerpt, though, from today's Parliament address. This is actually after the address. And this is from Elizabeth May. She used to be the head of the Green Party up there, but she's still a very powerful voice. And she just had so much to say today that I'd like to share, because I know American networks aren't going to be covering this. And her words are just worth hearing. But for some reason, they're not playing.
I'm sure they...
No, it's a browser issue. Let me deal with this, if you could maybe entertain the folks with something.
Well, I
Why won't you work?
That's entertaining as heck. No, the sentiment is... it's shared, and hearing these individuals and you know, it was funny, there was some announcements and stuff today. It's just, there's so much, and so much being said, so much to focus on. It's not even really being carried on many channels. You really have to seek out different press conferences, or really dig, because so much news and so much is occurring, and there's just a lot to catch up on. So in finding that stuff and sharing with other people, good reporting, the truth, you know, honest, well written and thoughtful stuff, uplifting stuff as well. That do not just focus on uplifting things blindly, but make sure there's a healthy dose in your media consumption.
I think I found it. There's a volume control on our board here, which has to be up, and it is up. In addition to that, there's a button that has to be pressed to make sure that that switch is turned on.
I'm familiar with that one.
And that has to be turned on, and that was turned on. And then on the computer, there's a volume control on the computer itself, which cannot be muted. That has to be on, and that was on. And then there's a setting in Chrome, which is the browser I'm using right now, that automatically turns off the volume on web pages unless you turn it on. And I did turn that on. But the one thing I didn't do was turn on the volume in YouTube itself, and that was off. So I'm sorry about that. Here is an excerpt from Elizabeth May.
Party is part of a grand green family.
She's speaking French at the moment. This is the translator, but she's going to speak English.
A few days ago,
hang in there.
The Zelensky one was also a translator.
Yes, that's true.
Vitaly Kononov, and I quote,
"Dear green friends, we are writing to you from bomb shelters, from our home Ukraine, which is mercilessly attacked and bombarded by Russian forces since that fateful day, February 24, 2022. Ukrainians are indiscriminately hit. Collateral damage amounts to total destruction of cities, many civil and social infrastructures that have no relevance to the military are destroyed. Thousands of civilians dead and injured. Millions are fleeing their homes. Ukrainian army and civil defense volunteers have taken up arms and are fighting for the survival of Ukraine. They are successful to a great extent, but missile and bomb attacks by air are causing greatest damage. We are helpless. We have no weapons to counter air attacks. We appeal to you for support. Please urge your governments to help protect our sky by having a no-fly zone. For the sake of world peace and security, for democracy and resolution of conflicts through peaceful means and a rules-based world order, please help Ukraine." Now, it broke my heart to write our dear colleague in Ukraine that all elected Greens around the world have come to the same conclusion, that a no-fly zone will risk a wider war and even a nuclear war. We know these reasons are solid, even though they ring hollow. But we must use every tool, and I fear that the tools we have in front of us are inadequate to the task. President Zelensky, we do not want to let you down. We fear that we may inevitably let you down, but we will find every tool we can find, and where there aren't adequate tools, by God, let's invent them. In 1956, in the Suez Crisis, in the crisis in Suez in 1956, not yet Prime Minister, but Lester B. Pearson, a Canadian. We love ourselves here in Canada, we do. But we are an insignificant country in the massive geopolitics of superpowers, but we sometimes get good ideas. Lester B. Pearson invented UN peacekeepers. We need to invent something now that's effective to stop the war, to stop Putin, to save Ukraine. We have to use every single idea, every single sinew, every muscle. We must not relent for one single second.
Island homeowners, if you have a PSEG meter.
Oh my God, Google, how could you do that? I'm sorry. Google threw an ad in the middle of that. I'm going to skip it. We'll return.
This is incredible, though, and so stirring.
Yeah. Actually, we can do this more gracefully, because I know there's 20 seconds left in the ad, so.
She's right. You have to solve this, and solve this now, whatever it takes. This is not something that should grind on the way it even has, and it's incredible to think of not being able to do something.
Okay, so we're going back to Elizabeth May now from Canada.
We have seen illegal wars. I've lived long enough to see many illegal wars based on lies in Vietnam, in Afghanistan, in Iraq. Too many innocent lives lost, and now never again. Not one more Ukrainian child Please, God, stop the bombs. Please, let's have a ceasefire. Please leave a pathway for Vladimir Putin to make it to a negotiating table and find a peace. How do we stop lies? We stop them with the truth. And the truth is the courage of the Ukrainian people. The truth is the courage and the unexpected reality of you, President Zelensky. An honest to God Democrat, a human being, a mensch, a man of such moral courage that the world is inspired. But we must not let you down, because God knows you won't let us down. We must do more. We know this. You are, as our Prime Minister just said, a champion of democracy. May we be worthy to stand by you. May we find the ways that make it meaningful that we stand with you. Not one more lost life, please, God. Not one more mother in Russia who weeps for a lost son in an immoral and illegal war. Thank the brave Russians who face jail just to go on the streets and say, stop the bombing, no more war. And I close with this. President Zelensky, what I want, what I pray, and I pray for you constantly, and for Ukraine. What I want is that you come here in person, that we invite you and we see you here, president of a country at peace, of a free, democratic, and victorious Ukraine. Please come here so that we can hope that in your eyes we remain worthy to be called your friend. Thank you.
And that was Elizabeth May today. The Canadian Parliament, after the address by President Zelensky from Ukraine, you know, she really sums so much of it up. This is such an emotional time, and we have the opportunity to do things right or to continue making the same mistakes again and again. Anyway, that's a bit of history. Took place today. There was resistance that was shown on Russian TV. Russian state television employee interrupted a live news program by holding up a sign saying "No war." And her name is Marina Ovsyanikova. She's an employee of Russia's state-run Channel One. She walked into the studio during yesterday's evening news show with a poster saying, "No war, Russians against the war." And she recorded a video before her action. She said her father is Ukrainian. Her mother is Russian. She said that Russia is the aggressor country. And one person, Vladimir Putin, solely bears responsibility for that aggression and urged Russians to join anti-war protest. And they are. They most certainly are. It's the most incredible thing to see. And that is how this stops. That is how Vladimir Putin is basically given a command to cease the insanity that he has been engaged in. People in Russia, many of them have relatives in Ukraine. They see what's going on, if they see what's going on, because they're being shielded from it by the state media. But if they get word of it, almost invariably, they're outraged by this. Remember, people are the one thing that any leader is deathly afraid of. Russia is no exception.
Yeah, this is something kind of along the lines of what I meant with compassion, and as hard as it may be. And one of the things, I mean, we've been looking at some videos of people just being interviewed, talking about being asked very simple questions. And I think that's remarkable. There are Russians just talking, you know, casually, man on the street style. And it's a great reminder that that there are a lot of people there. There are a lot of different attitudes, and they're not all necessarily with the way the leadership is directing things. There are people that, yeah, they have bad information from our perspective. It's bad content or not enough. And the one thing I heard spoken of about this situation with shutdowns and media and bad reporting is the concept of like getting getting thumb drives and getting coverage from the outside into the country. And it's sort of related to media, state media, the dissent there, how it's, you know, limited, but even but does exist. And I'm thinking the types of stuff needs to be really well curated, but packages like that that have some of the Western coverage doesn't matter, all kinds, every single thing, if that could be aggregated and organized and curated, I emphasize that term, in a really, really professional way, so that it can be trusted, it can be a variety of bits of coverage, so there's no question in verifying different stories and how it's covered and how that might help people, because it's becoming a situation where people believe one thing and that's it, because there are less and less views, and that's partly effect of the heavy sanctioning and the responses from the Russian media or state media organizations and the laws they're passing. But that doesn't mean that dialogue ceases, and we have. I mean, just the sound of like, yeah, putting stuff on a thumb drive. That's a very easy thing to do, and there are a lot of organizations that are really good at that kind of thing, and organizing content that way. And there's so much good writing and video and discussion about it, podcasts like ours or radio programs.
We've been looking at some video. I swear, YouTube has the worst search engine in the world. I'm trying to remember the name of the production company that did the Man in the Street interviews that we've been watching. It's four numbers. I'm looking up Man in the Street interviews on YouTube. It's not coming up. It's the first thing that comes up on Roku, though. So it's really ridiculous how hard they make you look for that. But while Kyle is looking for this, and it might take him the rest of the hour, let me update you on what happened to the Russian state employee who did this. She spent the night in police custody on Tuesday, today. Moscow's Ostankino District Court ordered her to pay a fine of 30,000 rubles, which is about $270, on charges of organizing unsanctioned actions for her call to take part in demonstrations against the war. The investigative committee, which is Russia's top state investigative agency, is also conducting a probe against her on charges of publicly spreading false information about the Russian military. New punitive legislation, which was adopted a day after Russia invaded Ukraine on February 24th, which basically means you can't say that Russia invaded Ukraine on February 24th. You can't call it a war. You basically have to refer to it as a special military operation. If you don't do that, you could go to prison for 15 years. That is what people are facing. And they are challenging it. They are challenging it in droves, which is very inspiring. Now, if she is convicted, as I mentioned, she could face up to 15 years in prison. In a video address early today, Ukrainian President Zelensky praised Yanukovych for her courage. Asked about her action, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov described her move as hooliganism, noting that interference with a live broadcast is a serious offense. Hooliganism. The Russian government has taken a sweeping effort to cut independent sources of information about the war, imposing blocks on the BBC Russian service, a U.S. government-funded Voice of America, Radio Free Europe / Radio Liberty, German broadcaster Deutsche Welle, and Latvia-based website Medusa. Russia has also blocked Twitter and Facebook and outlawed Instagram as extremist. Well, it's interesting to see all this happening. And, you know, on the other side of the coin, we've been talking about Russia today. When we started this whole thing a few weeks ago, Russia Today was available on cable systems, satellite, and it's not anymore. It was available as an app on Roku and other devices. It's not anymore. You were able to go to RT on YouTube. Nope, can't do that anymore either. You can still go to RT.com. They're very paranoid. Your site, your browser will be checked for denial of service attacks before you're allowed access. But for now, you can still see it that way. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing as simply keeping word from the rest of the world from your people, so by cutting off access to the entire world and by writing a false narrative. It's basically, it's cutting off lies, demonstrable, you know, proven lies, things that are indisputable. Russia invaded Ukraine. Russia is in a war in Ukraine. They are bombing civilian targets. All of this is easily provable through the independent journalists who are over there from all around the world. And it's not giving access to the other side if the other side is simply going to lie about what is there. So that's what this is. You know, you can't simply have an outlet that will tell you that black is white and that gravity doesn't apply and various things like that. I mean, you can for comical purposes, but there's nothing funny about this. So, you know, if you want to hunt down the liars, go ahead, hunt them down. But they shouldn't be provided gratis and put into everybody's living room as if they were a legitimate source. They're not. We have to remember that. We have to remind ourselves constantly that this is what's true. This is what's false. We've had some practice in the last few years. We've had a bit of practice with that, you know, to varying degrees of success. Now, the whole world is playing this game.
Yeah, it's like an intelligence community intelligence test.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is unfortunate that we have Western personalities that are saying those same lies.
My God, Tucker Carlson is saying these things.
We have political leaders, even
politicians, are saying these things
in this very country.
Ex-presidents are saying these, an ex-president is saying these things.
Disappointing, but not surprising. And having entire channels from foreign state media funding or other related sources that is patently false.
Right.
It does not make for the kind of media landscape that honors and is actually good storytelling and writing.
I will track down RT online and see what they're saying, because I want to know what they're saying. And not everything they say is a lie. There are some things that are actually, they're reporting on the whole world turning against them and people who are, for instance, this woman who had the protest on the air, they're reporting on that as well. But there are so many things that they are broadcasting that are complete lies and that are designed to get people to fall in line. And that is just so unhealthy. And that is not something that just should be spread around as if it were legitimate. You know, we shouldn't be afraid to show the kind of bias that defines what is right and what is wrong. That doesn't mean you're biased. That means you have some sense and you can tell when somebody is lying to you and when they're not. You know, not every lie is something that is a truth, you know, to somebody else. You know, you might believe something because you're told something. It doesn't make it true.
And it's also like misplaced energy, I think, because when you put forth arguments and create fora and create and have space for these sort of these discussions that aren't really something that are debatable, you're not actually working and affecting other aspects of life that do have nuance, that do have like, okay, well, we're working on something and this issue has technical details that that are valid and need to be sorted through. That's worthwhile, right? It's spinning your tires over lies is not a well-spent energy, and there's just so much more that deserves discussion and being put forth over that in the world.
And, you know, there's a lot of idiots here on the left as well. I see people doing the same thing. Basically, I mean, they want to blame the U.S. I don't blame them. The U.S. is culpable in so many things, but you can't blame them for everything. Basically saying that Putin had no choice. He had to go in because the U.S., you know, no, not this time. Uh-uh. He didn't have to do this. Absolutely not. Yeah, U.S. is imperialist. Great. Okay, fine. That's the headline for a rally of a different day. But right now, the guilty party is Putin. He invaded Ukraine, and that is not acceptable. Now, Kyle, you were going to all different computers. Did you ever find out the name of that?
Oh, yeah. The account's 1420.
1420 is the name of the YouTube account. I swear to God, I'm searching for that on YouTube, and it's not telling me. So 1420, if you go to that particular channel, I'm going to try typing that into the search bar, see if it gives me anything. Right away you see 1420 videos. And there are such questions as, do Russians blame the U.S.? What do Russians think about the fake news law? And what do you notice? Are Russians ready to be cut off from the internet? Basically, it's mostly young people, but there are some old people as well on the street. I think it's a guy just walking around with a phone. I have no idea what 1420 is all about, but it seems like they have quite a following. But you get a sense of the individualism that exists in the streets of Russia, and it's a very inspiring thing. You realize these are the people that are going to stop this. These are the true faces of Russia. So before you write off the entire country and say they're all a bunch of mindless drones, take a look at this. See what the people are actually like. And I think you'll be filled with hope. Just go to YouTube, type 1420. You'll see a bunch of videos pop up where people are being asked questions in the street. A lot of it is crazy and disorganized. And of course, there are some people who do believe the party line. But I think you'll feel optimistic. I don't know. What did you feel optimistic after seeing that, Kyle?
Well, right. I feel kind of just intrigued and more relationships, connected, I guess, worldly. I'm empathetic. It's like you're walking up on the street with people and a very informal. It doesn't have to be that way. I encourage other people to be asking this, maybe in other parts of the world with the Russian diaspora, with Ukrainians. It's really kind of a simple concept, but it is fascinating because you get the sense that this generation, especially the younger folks there, they know nothing of what this conquest and the history, the other the accusations and world, global influence, and they're aware of the system there and how they navigate that is interesting. I think we do the same things. We're perhaps maybe we put it in different terms or we're critical in different ways, but it's familiar.
Yeah. This is interesting. Well, and by the way, just another note on those videos. Some points when people, and they do this, they mention the war. The guy posting the videos has to silence that. Literally has to silence that because he could get charged with a crime simply for acknowledging the war on YouTube from Russia. So the subtitles are still there, but the audio is muted. And it just gives you a sense as to what people are dealing with there and kind of the tongue-in-cheek way they're dealing with it. They're sort of challenging it but not challenging it. I think we can all identify with that.
The captions really help you make sense of how they navigate it or how they think of it, and because it's maybe not, it's a pretty good translation. I mean, it's really interesting the phrasing and how little, people will be sort of guarded in many ways, but this format is really disarming and there's a lot of, there's even some really humorous stuff there as well. And he does a great job keeping both the people there. They say what they're willing to say as far and as much as they will. Some people get up and leave.
Yeah, some people are really kind of freaked out. It's like, oh, I can't talk about this. You're going to get me arrested. And that right there, that says more than what they ever could have said.
I think part of this is, if it is on a phone or a smaller camera, the cameras have gotten so small now that you don't appear as like a big production,
and that speaks to the fact that he's not harassed by the authorities. Because if you do and I know this from experience, if you show up with professional equipment in a Russian city, you will get harassed by the authorities.
Yeah, if you have a 60-pound camera on your arm in a foreign country, you are going to get a different kind of attention. And I know this from photography, from recording, as we've traveled and stuff. So it's cool to get the kind of content now and not be as noticeable and just really just have the conversations and capture that. We are really able to peer in, and in this way, especially under the circumstances when foreigners may not have as much free rein there and may not be able to ask these questions or have these kinds of conversations as they tour or visit and so forth.
Yeah. Again, 1420 is the name of the YouTube channel, YouTube uploader, and a fascinating look at the world, what's really going on. And, you know, it's mostly young people. Young people tend not to have the filters in place that older people acquire that tell them what to say and what not to say. They're speaking their mind. And sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong, but they're mostly honest, I think, and diverse. Well, not racially diverse, that's a Russian thing, but basically diverse in their opinions, their outlook, the way they present themselves. And that is a healthy thing. That is something that fills me with hope, but has to continue. It absolutely has to continue. And that is the greatest hope right now, because, you know, everything I read about the invasion so far, about how these soldiers were prepared, it sounds like they didn't know what they were doing. They figured they would take over the city in a couple of days. And of course, they didn't bring enough supplies to last beyond that. It's well beyond that now. Morale is falling like a rock. And these are people that didn't know they were going into Ukraine in the first place. These are people that may have relatives in Ukraine. There were all kinds of, you know, back and forth between the two countries. They were on good terms. They, you know, they're related. But after this, it's going to be scarred for a very long time. But you just have to wonder, what is the mood like amongst those soldiers that are being expected to carry on with this? I don't think they can do the job. And that's why Putin is calling out for people from places like Syria or other countries or other parts of Russia that don't have the ties, that will be more brutal. And I don't think the people are going to tolerate that when they see what's happening, when they realize what's happening to their neighbor, to a place that many of them hold fondly in their hearts. You know, and I wonder, you know, when they react against Putin, what's that going to be like? What's going to happen in Russia? And, you know, an unstable Russia is something we all need to worry about.
Yeah, having people that do not speak any of the languages, I think that makes communication different. You start speaking intermediate languages, right. And as you said, yeah, not having as much neighborliness or at least familiarity with the community that you're disrupting.
It's like when Tiananmen Square, when the massacre in Tiananmen Square happened. You know, for a while, the demonstrators got along with the various soldiers or police that were surrounding the area, you know, because they were pretty much from the same place. But when they brought in soldiers from a distant part of the country who had no ties, it became very different very fast. And that was a tactic. That was a tactic to win that battle. Something else that is being talked about a lot in the last couple of days is China. And basically what they are doing, if China got on board and pressured Russia to stop this, it would stop. I'm pretty sure about that. There's fear that that's not happening. There's fear that China might actually help the Russians. Honestly, can't see why they would think that's a good idea. Chinese are very smart as far as playing tactically. But I think we did something that's kind of dumb. We were threatening China, saying, if you support Russia, there'll be dire consequences. And honestly, I don't think that is the way to get them on board. That's the way to get them to double down and do the exact opposite. I think, you know, we have a chance to mend some bridges. You know, those tariffs are still in place from Trump. Why? Why are the Chinese tariffs still there? You know, how about we say those go away if at least you don't back Russia, if you don't support them, and if you put some pressure on, things will be better. Now, obviously, I know, you know, there's the Uyghur situation. There's all kinds of horrible things they're doing. I get that, but this is not the time to focus on that. You know, it doesn't feel great, but that is the way it is. That's how diplomacy works. We need China on board. And if we're just going to threaten them, they're not going to be on board. I know people say the only thing they understand is strength. No, they're not a big dog. They're China. Okay, you have to, you know, treat them with some degree of respect, play the diplomatic game, get them on your side, and that's when this thing really turns a corner.
Yeah, I hear you. I agree to an extent, but I think it's less about what's being said and more about action at this point. Like, talk has been wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's been great to be chatty with countries like China.
Well, has there been much talk, though?
It's not my duty as of now, but I'm sure that those channels remain open from, you know, the State Department and their counterparts.
The talks need to be positive from us. Like, this is the good that will happen if you do the right thing.
Yeah, the good is...
Instead of saying, this is what will happen if you don't do the right thing. I just don't think that's going to work.
Yeah, I mean, you can phrase it either way. I think the good is the status quo, that you remain a part of the integrated global economy.
How about the good is better? The good is like, okay, we get rid of the tariffs, or we do something else that you like, and, you know, we benefit. Isn't that a good thing to at least try?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that just responding to every country complaining about you know, what they're not getting, I think is meeting the moment.
This isn't every country. This is China. You know, they're the most powerful one, and if we get them on our side, that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. That changes the game. And there's also fear of India supplying weaponry to Russia. I can't imagine that happening, but they do have a fascist in charge, so that's entirely possible. Today, the prime ministers of, get this, the Czech Republic, Poland, and Slovenia had a meeting. You know where they had the meeting? In Kyiv. Yeah, they went to Ukraine to have the meeting in a show of high-level backing for the Ukrainian president, and basically had a personal meeting. Now, Biden's going over to Europe next week. He's not going to Kyiv, I don't think. He's going to Brussels. But still, that's a big deal. And we need to encourage that sort of thing. I hear the dog is back in the streets of Kyiv right now. I don't know if listeners can hear him.
Yep. Just a lot of whining and complaining from superpowers.
And dogs.
It's the theme. Stop complaining. The dog stopped. Wow. I feel heard.
All right. We only have a couple of minutes left. Didn't see any films this week because we've been so busy with everything else. And
we have not lost track. The projector is in good repair. So we'll be back at that, certainly. But there is, as I alluded to, so much reporting and other things. Fictional stuff out there. Read a book. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of the responses to what would you do with sanctions?
That's right. Yeah, you know, talking to people on the streets. I'm not sure what city it is. I think it's Moscow. It might be St. Petersburg. But basically, how will you react if the internet is cut off? A lot of people say it's not going to bother me. I'll just read a book. And you know, in Russia, that's what they do. They read and they write. And there's a lot of good that comes out of that place, you know, and it's not all about what Putin is doing. The people there are pretty amazing.
Yeah. Even if it's on a rolled up poster board behind a news anchor.
Yeah. There's been a lot of hatred expressed against Russians of all sorts, which is stupid because you don't know if Russians are supportive of this or not. In fact, in Brighton Beach, there are many Russian places in that part of Brooklyn that are supporting Ukraine, that have put up Ukrainian flags. That's another thing. You can't get a Ukrainian flag anywhere in this country. It's really hard to do that. We saw ribbons up on telephone poles of gold and blue, which is pretty awesome.
Have you ever noticed that those are the bell colors?
Oh my God, you're right.
I knew this. I was like, this is one of the first reactions I ever had.
So wait a minute, the 2600 van... If we drive around in that, people will just assume that it's a show of support for Ukraine.
That's obviously why we have the blue and yellow stripe on our telephone company van, right?
Wow.
Right?
Okay, yeah, absolutely, of course, yes.
Nodding, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have to go to the mountain now and get it out of the of storage and start driving around.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Bunker 26. Oh, yeah, we shouldn't talk about that.
Well, that's not what it's really called. But there's all kinds of ways that you can show your support, wearing those colors or just basically keeping abreast of the news, talking about it, making sure that lies aren't being spread, and knowing what lies there are out there and why they're wrong. You know, just we don't want you to parrot what is being said in some other media source just because they tell you to. Know why and know the facts and learn the history too. There's so much history in that region around the world. It's always a good thing. This is why we travel, because we learn something about every place we go to.
I can't express how proud I am of all that travel and just all the places. Yeah, it makes you really, really understand it. You read about the history of these places. Look at the history. If anybody gives you a simple answer to any of this, it's not the right answer, because it is incredibly complex. You get curious when you travel and you look into how things went. Look at the way some of this has gone. Let's prevent history from repeating. Let's learn from whether it is recent, whether it's immediate, whether it's ours or global history. Let's do something that we can all of us be way more proud of.
Yeah, I think that's a noble aspiration. You know, borders change all the time. That's one thing I've learned, is that there's all kinds of different borders in various places, and countries change their name, get bigger, get smaller. But one thing that we have to stand up against without exception is this kind of brutality, where civilians are being targeted, where cities are being destroyed. There is no call for that. In this particular case, there was absolutely no reason for this to begin. It's basically a desperate act by somebody who you really don't want to be in that particular corner, because he has way too much power. So an educated populace is the best weapon against that. And that's hopefully something that we'll achieve here as well as other parts of the world.
And do that self-examination as countries. You know, let's not create circumstances where there are individuals wielding that over everyone else.
That's going to do it for us. OTW at 2600.com. Kyle, it's been a pleasure talking to you about this.
You threatening me?
Yeah. We'll be back next week. Have a good night.
So long.
Oh, mama, mama, the children are playing in the street again. Don't you know what happened down there? The youth of 14 got shot down there. The cocaine guns are jamming downtown. The killing clowns, the blood money men, shooting those Washington bullets again. And every cell in Chile will tell the cries of the tortured men. Remember IND in the days before the army came. Please remember Victor Jara in the Santiago Stadium, Las Verdas, those Washington bullets again. Of pigs in 1961, a banner for the playboy in the Cuban sun. But Castro is a color that's a redder than red. Those Washington bullets want Castro dead. Castro from the era when the color of hope was red. Kyle stood proud through his ordeal, the last defender of the great ideal. He led his party towards the light. Now he's stabbed in the back by left and right. Washington smiles and Raisa cries, come on down Yeltsin, collect your prize. New world order, as the dream of a new world dies. Vietnam, Panama, Panama, Desert Storm, Washington bullets at Akon 4. Now there's no need for bullets, just threats and cash, TV dinners and video trash. It's what the peasants want and it's what they'll get. Oh, Micaiah, how they forget. Off to market without a safety net. Bankers and pimps come out to play. Now we're giving it all away. New world order, and the dollar says obey.
Kids, this is Finn with you on Finn's Revolution until the 9 p.m. hour. And I always do dig that cover of Washington Bullets by Attila the Stockbroker. I do like it. Anyway, tonight we have the members of, the charming members of goth folk duo from Brooklyn, Charming Disaster, coming right up, right after the end of this tune.